Hey, what's going on out there at V's After Dark Radio Land? You know what time it is when it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday, or a little bit after that, 6:01 to be exact, because my phone wants to be on crack, like Pookie from New Jack City for some reason. So I apologize for that. My phone wouldn't allow me to get on the air on time. Technical difficulties. This is great technology we have nowadays. But anyway, I digress. You know when it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and V's at the Dark Radio Land on a Thursday, it's time for another exciting edition of the quickest hour in sports talk on internet radio, which is the bench. Which is Let's Talk About Sports here on V's at the Dark Radio. I'm, of course, the man himself, James Azevedo. I'll be riding solo today because Ms. V has business to take care of that we will not talk about. So she has business to take care of, but she's here in spirit. The show must go on. You know how the show business, that show business saying goes, the show must go on. So that's what I'm doing right now. And let's get right to it. Believe it or not, the NBA Finals happened this past couple of days, for the past little over a week or so. Believe it or not, it doesn't seem that way because, let's be honest, this whole... We talked about this on my show, on my Benchwarmers live show that I do every Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, exclusively on Mixlr.com/EAR-Ona. That's MIXLR.com, by the way. But I digress. I've said for the past couple of months, ever since April, when the playoffs have started, that this is definitely one of the worst NBA playoffs I have ever seen, and I haven't seen not one second of it. So I know what you're saying is like, well, how can you say that and you haven't even watched one second of it? I can tell you why. By watching the highlights and by hearing from everybody in around this country how they feel how the NBA is such a joke. And let me tell you why. We all know for the last couple of years, and it's been going on even before these last 3 years, especially been going on the last 3 years even more. It's even worse than wrestling, meaning that it's so predictable. You know, even when the finals is over from last year or even the year before, you know the last two teams are going to be standing. Now, would there be a possibility that a team might upset one of these teams, especially the Cavaliers? Like, I thought maybe there was a chance with the Boston Celtics, which, by the way, not to toot my own horn, but I have called it that the Boston Celtics would make noise. Now, to be fair, I said that last year. That didn't happen. They were in and out of it, I think, by the first round last year. But this year, they proved my point. Not only did they win the Atlantic Division, which I predicted, but they went on to go in the Eastern Conference Finals, which I didn't even see at the beginning of the season. But before these playoffs started, I just wanted to be different. I had them going to the finals to face the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, I said the Warriors would have won in five had that happened, which they did win in five, but not against the Celtics. It was against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which the other night that happened, ho-hum, boring. The final score was like 129, 120, something like that. Who cares? It happened in Golden State in five games. And let me say this also. And this is another thing you won't probably hear, but maybe very few sports shows, including mine, and especially on here, of course. The NBA is a joke, not only because there's no parity. We all know it's so predictable that there's these super teams and everybody else is basically just playing for second and last place and for lottery picks. But also the referees and the league, yes, I'm going to say this, they all have their hands dirty. And I tell you why, all for the blood money. Here's why. And this is not a coincidence. Had it been a sweep, had the Golden State Warriors swept the Cavaliers in Cleveland, like, who didn't think it would happen the way they were dominating this whole series, although LeBron was outstanding. Let's give him credit, even though I don't care for LeBron James. And I know Ms. V doesn't like me to use the name, but, you know, she's not here. It's my show. I'm going to say his name because I like to, when I don't like somebody, I point the name out. That's me. But I respect Ms. V. I understand she don't want me to say that name, but I'm going to say that name. Give him credit. He was the first guy in NBA Finals history to average a triple-double every game. He was outstanding during this whole playoffs. He averaged practically over 30 points a game, almost practically triple doubles throughout the playoffs, but especially in the finals, he was triple double all over the place. Kevin Durant won the MVP of the finals, which we'll get to him because he's not going to be, trust me, I'm going to shoot some arrows at his ass too. It's not just going to be LeBron, what I'm about to say. But the NBA, ESPN, ABC, and the NBA themselves, and the refs, they all in cahoots with each other. I'll tell you why. Had the Warriors swept the Cavaliers, by the way, if you want to call right now, I should have said this at the beginning of the show, 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. And if you press 1, that means you want to comment or talk to me. If you just call the number and don't press 1, 646-716-8041, you just hear the show. But that's fine, too. We love our listeners listening, whether on the live media player, on the live link stream, or even on the phone. So it doesn't matter either way. But getting back to my thoughts, the reason why the NBA right now is the worst league of all the four major sports, including hockey. Yes, even hockey is better right now than NBA, because at least with hockey, you have different teams. Even though the Penguins went back-to-back Stanley Cups last year and this year, at least you have different opponents, you know. I'm just saying. And the Penguins weren't really in lockstep to be back in the Stanley Cup Finals, unlike the Cavaliers and unlike the Golden State Warriors, where we all knew for the last 3 years that was going to happen. The NBA is in cahoots, I tell you why. Because had it been a sweep, ABC and ESPN, which they are together, they could join together by there, they would have lost $150 million, with an M, million dollars in revenue had that been a sweep. Because of all the money you put in, you know, these TV contracts are ridiculous as it is, they would have lost $150 million. The refs would have not gained another extra big bonus in their paychecks had it been a sweep. So if you notice in game 4, there were a lot of fouls called, particularly on the Warriors more than the Cavaliers. Now, I know you still got to make your baskets, this, that, and the third. I know that. So I'm not saying that they were giving points to the Cavaliers, although all the foul calls, some of these foul calls were ended up being points for the Cavaliers because of free throws. And, of course, they have to make the free throws. It's not like they automatically get the 2 points or even 1 point. But still, they give them the opportunity to take over the game and slow down the game and have the Cavaliers a chance to lose one game. So that way there's more money in the pockets in the NBA with their TV partnership with the ABC and ESPN, and, of course, with, you know, their officials with the refs. Disgrace. And if you don't see the money trail that I'm talking about, look it up. I'm not making this up. I'm just saying. How there's no outrage about this is beyond me. And Adam Silver needs to, and I've been praising him for the last 3 years. He's been the best commissioner for the last 3 years, bar none. Now, Robert Manfred, who is the commissioner of the MLB, he's done an outstanding job since he took over the last couple of years, no question. But Adam Silver has been around longer, since 2014. You know, we all know with everything that he's done, da-da-da, you know, his track record since he took over for David Stern, who served over 30-plus years. He's been outstanding. He needs to step in and needs to do something about the NBA, not just the playoff system, but the league itself. A bunch of these super teams, especially when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, I mean, it's just ridiculous how these players run the asylum. They do what the hell they want, and they get what they want. Coaches have no say, no power, and the owners just basically take it. And you know what I'm talking about where? Because this is a G-rated show. You know what I'm talking about. They just take it and don't say nothing. They just deal with it because they don't want to, you know, mess with the golden goose that's producing billions upon billions of dollars to everybody with all these orders and everything. Adam Silver needs to take a step in, reevaluate the league, and say, you know what? My league is in trouble. And I tell you why. Besides the Cavaliers and the Warriors, no one has a shot. Now, okay, Boston Celtics, they're right there. No doubt. I saw this coming from even last year. I knew they would be an up-and-coming team, especially with the the trades they made with the stupid Brooklyn Nets the last couple of years, which, you know, Brooklyn Nets start getting an old-ass Kevin Garnett and an old-ass Paul Pierce that they thought they were going to win a quick championship. Dumbasses. I was one of the only ones around here in the tri-state area that knew better. Everybody else was jumping on the Nets bandwagon, you know, 4 years ago. Oh, they're going to win a championship. They're going to be relevant the next 2 years. Yeah, look what happened. Nothing. Actually, no, I take that back. Jason Kidd wasn't the head coach yet because he came on the Knicks the next year. He was still a player, but he eventually became a head coach of the Knicks after his 1 year with the Knicks. But I digress. Adam Silver, the commissioner of NBA, needs to sit down and have a meeting with the owners and the players' union and say, listen, this is not working, okay? I know we have still eyeballs. And see, this is the problem. There's still eyeballs to the set. Now, there have been ratings that have gone down, and they've gone down a lot the last couple of years because real hardcore basketball fans and fans like me, this type of basketball is horrible. Look at the finals, how it looked the last five games. It looked like an all-star game. Look at the final score. These final scores average over 100 points. It's ridiculous. Where's the defense? Everybody's running in the paint like, you know, like they own it. Oh, yeah, go on, excuse me. Am I in your way, Kevin Durant? Go on, go ahead. Make a layup. Make a, you know, slam dunk. Make it a reverse layup. Make a reverse dunk. Hit it off the backboard, Steph Curry, so Kevin Durant could come from behind and slam it down the rim. It's ridiculous, and it goes both sides. Oh, excuse me, LeBron. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and take that shot. Yeah, go ahead and block that shot. No defense. Barely any defense. This is even worse than last year. At least with last year's finals, even though it was predictable that these two teams were going to meet, at least there was drama. They threw down 3-1. The Cavaliers were, you know, stupid. What's-his-face opened his big mouth and tried to kick LeBron in the private, called him you-know-what. The rest was history. LeBron went on a tear those last three games, and that was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in the NBA Finals, even better than this year, even though they're all kissing his booty. Oh, my God, triple-double, first player ever to have a triple-double, averaging a triple-double in the NBA Finals. Who cares? That's fine and dandy, stat-wise, you know, personally, but if you don't win a championship ring, I don't care. And you got to hear LeBron, since we're in this. You know, like I said, Adam Silver needs to get everybody together, the union. I don't care if there's a lockout. They need to shake this league up. They need to make sure that not only – I mean, you got your major teams, the both coasts, the New York Knicks and Los Angeles Lakers, playing like crap the last couple of years, falling apart. Main franchises that have been part of the NBA for many years, especially with the New York Knicks, that's been is one of the original teams from day one, going back to 1946. You need these teams to be relevant, not just those teams, but other teams, small market teams. You need competition. It was competition back in the day. Now, I know you're going to come at me. What are you talking about? The Bulls destroyed everybody. No, guess what? The Pacers had a chance to knock off the Bulls a couple of times. The Knicks had a chance a couple of times. Hell, even the Utah Jazz had a couple of years in a row when they was back-to-back finals in 97-98 where they had a shot to knock them off. And they were one of the only teams that came close next to the Pacers in 98 in the Eastern Conference Finals. But it was competition. That's my point. It was competition. There's no competition. These whole freaking playoffs have been a joke. It's been a joke. People should be outraged. You know, they should be, you know, sports fans. No, don't get me wrong. I know there's more important issues in the world today, and I know that, and I'm making this perfectly clear. I know there's bigger fish to fry, as they say, but I'm just talking about in the sports world. How is there not outrage and from people that they just like the NBA is a joke? It's getting worse and worse. The season don't matter. Now, I know some of you people are going to say, well, you're a Knicks fan and your team sucks. And if your team was in the playoffs, you wouldn't be saying these things right now. No, correction. I would still be saying this, even if my team, you know, made a playoff run. Because I know at the light of the end of the tunnel, my team ain't going to even sniff the Eastern Conference Finals, let alone the NBA Finals. You know why? Because of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're in the way, and they're a super team. I don't care what LeBron says. Well, let's be fair. The Cavaliers are not really a real big super team, not like when he was with Miami. But for him to have the audacity, which I'm going to get to in a minute, with what he said at the end of Game 5, which it's not surprising, LeBron can't help himself to be himself. I give him that. He plays the phony role a couple of times, you know, when he's doing a commercial or whatever. But the real self comes out when he loses, when he don't get his way. When he doesn't get his way, the real LeBron James comes out. Just like what happened to that graffiti that supposedly happened, that racist graffiti that happened supposedly 2 weeks ago. Geez, amazing how that story disappeared. Wonder why. Now, I'm not blaming LeBron on that. I'm not saying that. But some one of his people, I don't know what they're up to. I remember somebody, matter of fact, having quoted this, you know, my boy, Heaven Hollywood Clark, he stated that, yeah, he probably had one of his people set that up in case they would lose in the finals. He would make an excuse that, oh, that was a distraction, that racial overtone that was written on his gate in his Los Angeles complex. And I thought about that. So, you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility. But whatever the motive was, that's a disgrace. And I blame the media. They all of a sudden ran away with the story like it never happened. Like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, like they never reported it. Because they know it was full of crap. But if you know it's full of crap, put out an article that says, hey, this was false. But no, God forbid people take a responsibility of their actions, right? It's ridiculous. And then here's LeBron. You have to hear what LeBron had to say. And I wasn't going to play the whole 10-minute conference because that would have bored everybody. Excuse me while I try to find it. Hold on 1 second, because I want to set this up right. You know, he lost, and I'm going to give you some tidbits of what he said before the main thing, because the main thing I'm just going to play. One of the things that he said I'm not going to bore you with, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Like someone asked him, You know, how's it feel, you know, that you did everything you could on the floor and you couldn't come up with the final result, which is winning an NBA championship. And, you know, could you live with yourself, whatever the hell, you know, whatever it was. And he was basically, well, I know that I left everything out on the court and I did what I had to do. And then he goes to a reporter, well, it's like if you wrote a great column and you felt it was a great column, but someone else says that wasn't a great column and you just fell short. But you know in your mind, well, I know I did a great column and it wasn't my time. First of all, basically he's throwing his team underneath the bus. How in the hell do you say that? I'm just saying, that's like, what? You gotta be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me to say that. He basically threw his team underneath the bus. Let's keep it real. LeBron threw his team underneath the bus, basically saying, well, I did my part. But the rest of my teammates, you know, didn't hold the load like I did or pull the load like I did. That's basically what he said if you read between the lines. And if I'm his teammate, I'm pissed. Now, you could read between the lines because people, there's rumors floating around that he might leave again. And what did I tell you 3 years ago? Well, I told you all 3 years ago. I said it. It's on record. It's on record. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/dollhouseradio, yes, I'm putting it out there. You know, I'm not on there no more. It's on record. If you go back, like about this time, 3 years ago, when he made this, you know, the golden child has come home to his kingdom, and, you know, everybody was so, like, fell in love with it. Well, most people, I didn't fall for it. But there were some people like me that didn't fall for that garbage. We all know that he was going to leave again, regardless if he won a title or not. And I said it, that he would go to L.A. Now, I said specifically the Lakers. But there's been rumors, what a shock, 3 years later, he might go to L.A., whether it's the Los Angeles Clippers or the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, most people would say, well, it would make sense he would go to the Clippers more than the Lakers because the Lakers got nobody. They're, you know, starting from the bottom. And I agree. I don't see him going there like that. But I do see him going to the Clippers when you got his boy there you know, CP3 there, and you got what's his name? This dude, Blake Griffin. He's still over there, and you got, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time. I can't believe I forgot his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Who used to coach the Celtics that won them a title a couple years back. Why wouldn't he go there? It's a possibility. Because remember, every year he only signs like a one-year contract or whatever the hell he does. He basically always has an opt-out in case, you know, something happens that he don't like. That's how he is. So to me, that indicates when he said that, if you read between the lines, like, well, I did my part. Basically, that's what you say. Look, I did my part. I could live with myself. I can't speak for my teammates because I don't felt they pulled the weight like I did. But I know I can look myself in the mirror basically and, you know that I did all I can to help this team win a title again. Not one time did he say anything about, you know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. He didn't even come close to saying that. And that's a disgrace. But, of course, no one's going to say that because most people are afraid of LeBron. Not everybody. Charles Barkley, Shaq kind of likes him. But he won't mind saying a comment that's critical if he deserves it. And in this case, he does deserve it because he basically threw his team underneath the bus on live TV after a loss in the finals, losing the title in 5 games to the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, they should have three-peated. Let's be honest. They choked that 3-1 lead last year. Not taking anything away from LeBron and what they accomplished coming back 3-1, but it was just let's keep it real. And let's also keep it real, not to make an excuse, but Stephen Curry was not 100% last year. And although they came back against OKC in the West Coast Finals last year with him being hurt, they were down 3-1, they still won. So that's why there's no excuse. But they still had a chance to win. Now, I'm going to get to the Kevin Durant thing in a second, and I'm trying to get to this this audio, but I'm trying to set this up. Hold on, this thing is so slow. You would think that all the talk I was doing, that was a whole case of Radio 101 I was doing, keep on talking because dead air is a big no-no in the radio business, that you would have thought I would have had this set up. I mean, I have the clip set up. I'm just trying to do something else right now where I can get to a certain audio clip that I could play once you hear this bullcrap from LeBron James. Hold on a second. Here it is. I think I got it. Where is it? Hold on. The hell did it go? The hell? Okay. I don't know what just happened. Oh, my God. I just had the audio clip. Wait a minute. Where the hell did it go? I have no idea where the hell it went. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to find this clip I just had, and I don't know where it went. It just disappeared. Good job, Blog Talk Radio, by the way. That's why I'm not on Blog Talk Radio no more. My audio clip, like, disappeared. I just had it. What the hell? Let me go back again. Let me see what the hell is going on. Excuse me. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I sincerely apologize. I don't know what the hell happened. Where the hell did it go? Oh, my God. It disappeared. Let me see something. Hold on. I'm sorry. But anyway, I'm just going to play this. And this clip from LeBron the other night, when after they lost the championship in 5 games to Golden State Warriors. And you be the judge, and you see what I'm talking about when it comes to the douchiness of LeBron James.
Last question on the left side. Hey, LeBron, Eric Pincus, Basketball Insiders. You've been a part of 2 super teams, the one you have here, the one you had in Miami. Looking at what the Cavaliers, rather the Golden State Warriors have done, are you still a fan of the concept? Do you think it's a good thing for the NBA to build these teams, how they brought in Kevin? And you get what I'm asking?
No, not really. I don't believe I've played for a super team. I don't believe in that. I believe we're a super team here. So, you guys want one more question before I leave and not see you guys for a long time?
You big dummy.
Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Let me tell you what he just said again. This so-called man, LeBron James, said that he believes he's never been on a super team. Never been on a super team? Are you kidding me? Wrong answer, exactly. Let me spark your memory a little bit, because maybe you're 32 years old. Maybe you're having memory loss at an early age. Not that I want you to have that. Remember when you first went to the Heat back in 2010? Remember a couple of guys named Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh? Wasn't that the big three? And didn't you all had a big concert-like atmosphere? Like you were the coming of Jesus Christ yourself and Moses and Buddha all together coming as one on stage. And you went and spoke on the microphones, all three of you douches at the time, and especially LeBron, which LeBron, of course, was the leader of being king of the douchebags, when he said, well, we're going to win not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven. Who said that? It's on record. It was you, LeBron. Now, why would you say that? Oh, that's right. Because you're on a super team. A team that you planned out 3 years prior, back in 2007, during the Olympics, or whatever it was, the World Championships in overseas. Because you were all on the same team, and you all had this meeting privately, knowing that you all were going to be, that year, you re-upped your contracts to only 3 years, so that way you all were going to have free agency at the same time in 2010, because you knew that was D-Day for all y'all, to get together, go to Miami, which, as, hey, whether you're a young guy or not, who don't want to go to South Beach, especially if you're a guy? I'm just saying. Do I have to spell it out for you? If you're a hot-blooded male like me, South Beach, hot weather, beautiful women, you get the picture, right? Not only that, you get to be together and possibly be a dominant team for years to come. Isn't that a definition of a super team? I'm just saying. Now, Cleveland, you try to do that too. Don't get it twisted. You, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love ain't holding up there in the bargain. He's been okay. He's like the white version of Chris Bosh, which, by the way, let's send our prayers to Chris Bosh, because, he hasn't been healthy the last couple of years. He has a real healthy issue that has forced him into retirement. So I don't want to really come down on him like that, but I'm just going back 7 years at the time when all this was going on, when it came to Miami Heat. Then you won two championships, which, by the way, you should have only won one. Let's be honest. Stupid Coach Popovich in that finals a few years back basically gift-wrapped all y'all to stay alive in game six to have a game seven, and you all won the title when he took out Tim Duncan for defensive purposes. Why? I have no idea. When he's a big step-up guy that can catch a rebound, and LeBron went for a shot, missed a shot. If Tim Duncan was there, he would have rebounded the ball. Hey, fouls would have happened. Clock would have ticked off. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, that didn't happen. What happened? Chris Bosh got the rebound. Kudos to him. He pushed it out to Ray Allen. He hits the big three in the corner by the front row of fans on the right corner. If you were looking straight ahead at the basket, the rest was history. They had game seven, and the Spurs fell short. Coach Popovich, one of the biggest blunders in sports history, until who happened in the Super Bowl with the Seahawks and the Patriots. But that idiot, the name escapes from me, but you know who I'm talking about. He's still the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Want to throw at second and goal on the one with just 1 yard away from a title, back-to-back titles, and he throws a pass, and he stood by it. Well, I would do it again with Russell Wilson. Meanwhile, you had that big-ass running back, who, by the way, now is with the Raiders. His name escapes me, but the Skittles man himself. You had this big dude who would have mauled everybody on the front line, but you didn't go to him? Probably was paid off. Who knows? I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying. But going back to what I was saying, LeBron, are you kidding me? I was never on a super team. And then you go to Cleveland because you had your falling out with Pat Riley, because Pat Riley basically let you know who's boss and told you, you don't run this, I run this, and you acted like a little you know what, and took your ball and went back home and want to spin it like, oh, I'm coming back home. And he did the same thing he did in Miami. He goes to Cleveland, and they have this all big to get together like he's a coming of God. Like, God has returned to Jerusalem. Oh, your prodigal son is back. Oh, I'm going to save you all, Cleveland. Cleveland's always been our own. Akron, represent. Yes, I'm going to do all this. And, yeah, you know, the first year didn't do it because, to be fair, you had injuries that first finals against the Warriors a couple years ago. Okay. You played your ass off. You did your best you could. No doubt about it, I don't take that away from you. I've always said with LeBron, I don't take away nothing when it comes about him on the court. What I don't like about him is the way he is personally, the person that he is. I'm not talking about his skills on the court. I'm talking about him personally. Last year, he did one of the greatest feats ever in NBA history, especially in the finals, coming back from down three games to one, which no team has ever done in NBA history, which is remarkable to me because it's happened in baseball. You know, it's happened in NHL. Obviously, football's not like that. It's one and done. But that's fascinating that it was the first time ever in NBA history when it comes to the finals. And I said it then. If he did that, his name will become LeBron James of bold letters. And had he stayed and he changed and he became a cooler dude, I would actually have more respect for him. But LeBron can't help himself. He always finds his way to become a douche. We all know from a few months ago, he was mad about Phil Jackson calling his crew a posse, saying that was racist, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Posse's not a racist word. That goes back to the cowboy days, if you know, which was white guys saying this. It was white cowboys and black cowboys that called, had nothing to do with race. But LeBron, being the douche that he is, let me spit it that is race. Just like, who knows, I would hate to think that he was part of that bullcrap story about there was a racial overtone on written on his gate in his L.A. complex. I hate to think that he made that up, and I'm stating that he didn't. But God forbid we find that out that he did. One of his people made that up. That's all I got to say. Don't look good. But getting back to LeBron, with those comments that he said, he's never been on a super team? Oh, really? Okay. I beg to differ. Just for once, when you lose, can you lose gracefully? I'm not saying kiss the other team's butt, but Jesus, be somewhat humble. Damn. Now, we all know we never saw Michael Jordan ever lose a final, so we don't know how he ever reacted. But we saw him when he's been on teams that didn't make it, you know, when the Detroit Pistons stopped him a couple of times early in his career. And, you know, that one time when he made his comeback, his first comeback, they lost to the Magic in the semifinals. You know, he never acted douchey about it. LeBron just can't help himself. LeBron just cannot help himself. Now, speaking of douchey, I cannot talk about LeBron and not talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, he got his ring. Now, let's go to the other side of it. Kevin Durant, he got his ring. Good for you. Good for way to take the easy way out. Gee, you went on a team that, by the way, came back 3-1 on you last year in the West Coast Finals, and you joined the enemy so you could get your ride to the finals to get a ring. Now, I'm not saying, here we go, and here I am again. I'm not dissing his play. I'm talking about, although he has disappeared when he was with OKC. He did disappear just like Russell Westbrook did when it came to the last few games against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals last year, because they should have beaten the Golden State Warriors, which would have been a huge upset. And they would have faced the Cavaliers last year. And who knows, they would have won. But Kevin Durant left a team that was a damn good team. You had Russell Westbrook. You had all those other guys, those other couple of big men, which the name escapes me right now. What a shock. I forgot some other names again. But they were a good team. They could have, if he would have stayed on that team, who's to say they wouldn't have went back to the Western Conference Finals and faced the Golden State Warriors again and redeem yourself from that embarrassment of choking a 3-1 lead your team did. You, Russell Westbrook, all it wasn't just you, Kevin Durant. It was Russell Westbrook and the rest of the team. But no, you always had personal issues with Russell Westbrook. You got fed up. You got tired. And you were saying, I remember when he joined the Warriors, he said, well, you know, I'm 26, 27 years old. Time is running out for me. Are you kidding me? Time is running out for you? What are you, 40 years old? Well, you're 37 instead of 27? Come on, that's a ridiculous comment. No, you took the easy way. Now, you did your part. No question about it. You were outstanding. You got hurt. The team still continued because the team is still great with Steph Curry, with, you know, with all these other, you know, the Splash Brothers, all these guys. You know what I'm talking about. And Steve Kerr, you know, I always respect Steve Kerr. He came back during the finals after having his back issues. He was able to be there to win another championship. So kudos to him. I mean, this guy's resume is unbelievable. Winning four titles as a player. Now, this is his second title as a coach. Should have been third, but you don't know what happened there. Like I just told you about last year, that big choke they did, just like OKC did to Golden State in the Wisconsin Finals last year. But Kevin Durant, you played your ass off, no question. You deserve that Finals MVP, no question. But here's my problem with you, and it goes something like this. Take a listen. If it plays. Oh, great. It's buffering. This is wonderful. By the way, there's this chick on there that's doing this. Her name is Rachel Nicole. Her name is Rachel Nichols. Oh, my gosh. She is so hot. That's one white woman right there that I would love to make an interracial baby with. I'm telling you. Rachel Nichols, I love her. I loved her since she was on ESPN. Now she does, like, stuff for, like, NBA TV and stuff like that. This is not playing for some reason. I don't know why. I'm trying to play. This was on the floor after in Golden State after they won the championship, and he got the NBA Finals award, you know, MVP award. And this is not playing, and I don't know why. What the hell is going on? All right, sensor right here. So for some reason, I'm not connected. Alrighty then. Yeah, this is awesome. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. What's going on? All right, now it's connected. All righty then. Why is that playing? Hold on a second.
Last question on the left side. Hey, okay. LeBron, Eric Pink
is back. That's playing. Of course, LeBron is playing, but for some reason, is Kevin Durant has some sort of power over Blog Talk Radio that is not allowing me to play the Kevin Durant interview, which was a very short one? Look, it's still buffering. This is ridiculous. Give me a second, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry about this. Let me refresh this page. This is so freaking ridiculous. I swear, it reminds me every time why I left Ball Talk Radio. I swear to God, it's like, it's so annoying. It's just, ugh. I just can't. It's ridiculous. Okay, let me see. Let me go back. Let's see now. Scrolling down. Isn't this fast lane really, John? By the way, the number to call is 646-716-8041. Caller, I know who you are. I'm going to try to get to you real quick. I just want to finally play this audio from Kevin Durant, and then we'll get to you very shortly before the show ends. Here we go. Let's try this again. Take two.
There are 11 people who get to vote for Finals MVP.
This is Rachel Nichols.
And as I filled out my ballot last night, let's just say it was a very different experience from the year before. In 2016, it came down to the buzzer and then some. This time, there was no question whose name was going on that line. Kevin Durant was a monster in this series, and I was thrilled when after the game he had time for a quick chat. He was very loose, very emphatic. You're going to want to hear our conversation.
So almost at the end of the game, maybe a minute to go, I saw you actually skipping across the court. You looked so excited. What were you saying to your teammates and what did they say back to you?
Well, they told me to finish the game. Andre Iguodala told me to finish the game, but I was so excited and to win a championship, you know.
Easy way, by the way.
That's what you dream about, man. That's the ultimate accomplishment is to win the title, you know what I'm saying? And to do it in this fashion at home, beating a really great team 4-1 in the series, and also getting LeBron back for beating me 4-1 a couple years ago, can't beat it.
So many things over the years. Back, you said when you were 8 years old, you told your mom you wanted to do this. You have fought your way through so many things. What does it mean to you to have finally paid all of that off?
It means a lot. You know, just so many people I can't even name right now that put me in positions to be great. You know what I'm saying? It's just to experience what I've experienced. So many people. And it's not all on me. I didn't do this by myself. I'm not self-made. I'm a product of everybody who's invested in me, who's prayed for me, who's loved me, and I just, this means a lot. This right here is for everybody. It's just not just me. It's for everybody in PG County. This is everybody in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. This is everybody in Texas, Oklahoma City. Everybody, every place that I've been through, so many people have poured into me, and this is what it's all about.
You mentioned you don't care about everybody who's upset with you because of Oklahoma City. You and I talked in the back about the narrative, quote-unquote, that you were hopping on to win a championship. What do you think now?
Well, I checked the numbers. I ain't hop on. I did my part. We all did our part.
I'll give you that.
And I wasn't sitting on the bench all year. I came in here and did my thing. You know, just check the numbers. Believe it or not, I did what I was supposed to do. I helped the team win. We all did it together. It's not just about me. Stephen Curry was a big dog tonight. You got to respect that man. What he did tonight was unreal. It's Klay Thompson playing great defense all night. You got to respect that man, Draymond Green. You got to respect him. They did what they supposed to do tonight.
You guys all earned it today. There's no question about it. Congratulations, Kevin.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hi, Richard Nichols.
My favorite line he said there was, check the numbers. I didn't hop on. I did my part. Because that was the criticism going into this year, right? That KD was just going to ride the coattails of a 73-win team so he could collect a ring. And while at times during the regular season it was clear, Golden State really didn't need him against some of the league's lesser teams. That all changed in the finals, where the Warriors simply would not have won this without him. Kevin's right. He didn't hop on. He hopped into the driver's seat.
You big dummy! You big dummy! You big dummy!
Rachel Nichols, I love you. I really do. I've always been a fan of yours, and I find you're one of the hottest women on when it comes to sports, doing sports talk, sideline reporting, and you do a damn good job, regardless if you're good looking or not. Okay. He didn't hop on. He took the driver's seat. No question. I mean, I still feel the Warriors would have still probably had a chance to beat the Cavaliers in the finals even without Durant, and it's been proven. Even though the first year they did 2 years ago, it was an injury-ridden Cavalier team with a mass unit with no Kyrie Irving, who got hurt in that first game in the finals 2 years ago, and no Kevin Love because he got hurt way earlier in that playoff series a couple of rounds before 2 years ago. So basically LeBron was carrying the full load himself, which he did this year, except for the only difference was the other team couldn't do it because they suck. So I understand where LeBron's coming from, but like I said, LeBron, why even say that, you know, it's supposed to be about team. But going back to Kevin Durant, yes, you didn't go on a free ride. You were definitely a big part of why that championship you got there. No one can ever take that ring away from you. But guess what? People like me, and there's a lot of people like me, will always say to you, you took the easy way. You took the easy way, just like LeBron did, that started this whole crap 7 years ago. You did the same thing LeBron did, but even worse, because you went on a team that already won a championship and could have won two. This should have been 3 years in a row. You went on a team that embarrassed you last year in the Western Conference Finals after you had a 3-1 lead, a commanding 3-1 lead, and you all dropped the ball. Not just you, Kevin Durant, but it was Russell Westbrook, who I love, and the rest of that team. You all screwed up. You all choked. So I'm not just picking on Kevin Durant when it comes to last year, when it comes to that. So when that happens, not only you left OKC, which is fine, you were a free agent, you have every right to do that, but you go to a team that you choked a 3-1 lead to? Are you kidding me? When you all had that talk after the game, when you lost, you choked that 3-1 lead in Game 7 of the West Coast Finals last year, and you all had that, you know, embrace and hug, which, you know, you're doing sportsmanship, which is fine. I understand that. I got no problem with it. Were you all talking right there to yourselves that, hey, you know, I'll see you in a couple of months? I'm just saying. Was there collusion months prior, just like LeBron did with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, that you know you were going to get together with this guy when you were a free agent last year? Because you were pretty lovey-dovey with Stephen Curry last year after the loss. I'm just saying. And how could you do that when you choked a 3-1 lead? Russell Westbrook was even, like, out of his mind. But not you. Now, let me say this again. I'm not saying he's a horrible player. Now, first of all, anybody that's saying that Kevin Durant has passed LeBron James as being the number one player in the world is out of their mind. Even I can't say that. And I don't care for LeBron James. I hate him. The only person I might hate a little more than LeBron James is Dwight Howard, who is even a bigger douchebag and will never be a winner because he is a complete buffoon and a dumbass. But he could be on a super team, Dwight Howard himself, and still won't win any titles because he's just not only he's past his prime, but there's something wrong with him mentally. I don't mean to make a joke about that, but there's something wrong with that guy. I almost said a curse word. Thank God I caught myself. Kevin Durant, no one's questioning your play. You're definitely one of the top three players in the league. Some people would say probably Kawhi Leonard's better than you. Russell Westbrook, some people might say. You're definitely top four. You're definitely in the argument of the top three players in the world today. No question about it. Definitely a decent dude, no question. But what you did by leaving OKC and going to the enemy that you choked the 3-1 lead to, and we all knew right then and there that you were basically going to win a title because we all knew that barring injury, you were going to play your ass off just like the rest of your teammates, and you were going to basically cakewalk to a championship. And you did. You went 15-1 in the playoff run this year, and in the last 34 games, including towards the end of the season, the last 44 games, including the last part of the season and the playoff games, the 16 playoff games, you went a combined 32-2, which is remarkable. But at the same time, it's not as, oh my God, as it should be because the league is watered down. It's a disgrace. And you're a disgrace when it comes to taking the easy way out to get a ring. Now, as I say that, you deserve the ring. You definitely a big part of the reason why you all won a championship besides Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. No doubt about it. You're definitely part of it. You're basically the big four. Let's be honest. With LeBron, it was just a big three, or as I said, 2.5, because Chris Paul sometimes, you know, wasn't really all there. But you, on the other hand, including in this Golden State Warrior team, is the big four, okay? Quattro, the four horsemen. You know what I'm saying? Not to get all religious, but you know what I'm trying to say. If you're a wrestling fan, you can go by that too, the four horsemen. Woo! Anyway. But, you know, okay. No doubt you worked hard. Okay, you said in that clip, you worked hard. Okay, there's no doubt about it. And you had a major injury during the last couple of months of the season before you came back in the last month of the season. No question about it. You came back, you played your ass off. You were unbelievable. No doubt about it. Definitely one of the best players during the playoffs this year, although, the whole playoffs would be a joke. Definitely LeBron's first, your second, you know, and everybody else is like whatever. But you can't totally really look deep in yourself, in your heart, in your soul, and say to yourself, my God, I did this the right way. You did most of it the right way, but there's that 10% or 15%, give or take, that you know you did the wrong thing. You did. You took the easy way. You know, by going on the Golden State Warriors, that made the big four, because besides you, Steph Curry is definitely one of the best players in the league today. You could arguably say he's top five. Definitely in top 10 category. No less than that. You have Draymond Green, who's not really a great player, but he's definitely an enforcer on that team. You have Klay Thompson, definitely one of the best pure shooters in the game besides Steph Curry. So all that combined is the big four. Where, to be fair with LeBron, when he was on the Heat, and even with the Cavaliers, he was either the big three when it came to Cleveland or the 2.5 when it came to the Heat, with Dwayne Wade definitely being one of a major force, and Chris Bosh, who really basically was the half. He made it 2.5, and not the big 2.5 instead of the big three. Although, to be fair, Chris Bosh made that big rebound in that finals a couple of years ago against the Spurs, where Greg Popovich, the coach basically threw the game away to the Miami Heat and had a chance to win a championship. They showed they only won one out of those couple of years instead of two. But anyway, I digress. But Kevin Durant, you deserve the MVP of the finals. Great playoff run, even though, like I said, it's a wonder league, blah, blah, blah. But the ring is not 100% pure. That you know, you cannot look in the mirror and say, I did this the right way, because you didn't. Just like LeBron, he didn't do it the right way. But last year, I give him credit. Because he put his team on his back, although Kyrie Irving had something to do with it too. He did hit big shots himself. It wasn't just all LeBron, but LeBron played his butt off those last three games. But Kyrie Irving hit big shots too. Let's keep it real. They did a remarkable feat that no NBA team in history has ever done in the finals, come back from a 3-1 deficit. No doubt about it. That's the only ring, to me, I feel he's ever earned. And that was last year. To me, that was a more impressive performance than what he did this year in the finals when he averaged a triple-double these five games. Because not only he was great those last three games to carry a team to a championship, but he did a feat that nobody's ever done. No team has ever done. Come back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals. So that, to me, is impressive. And that is something that's a notch on his belt, LeBron, that I would say, you know what, mad props and respect to that. But you, Kevin Durant, when it comes to now all the other LeBron championships, those other two, I don't know. That's all garbage to me. But you, Durant, to me, you haven't earned a ring yet. I'm just saying. Come back to me if you lost, like, two of those guys, like a Steph Curry or a Klay Thompson, and let's see if you still win a title. I'm just saying. Okay, enough of that. Before I end the show, I have to bring on homeboy. I think this is Randy. I got to bring him on. Hold on a second. Hello, Randy. You on?
Hey, James. How you doing?
I'm okay. Sorry I took this long, but I had to.
No, I was enjoying
get stuff
it, actually.
On my chest.
I was enjoying
sorry,
it, actually.
Okay, good. I didn't want you to think I was ignoring you or nothing.
No. I enjoyed it.
Okay, cool. Now, anybody doesn't know, this is Randy. Big-time listener of These After Dark Radio, not only of this show, Let's Talk About Sports, but also that other show, that adult show we do on Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let me ask you, because I saw your Twitter, you know, you tweeted at me. You wanted to talk about the Yankees-Orioles series, and I ask you why, because my Yankees just shellacked and murdered. It was basically a murder scene that the Yankees, I'm surprised they're not in jail. They slaughtered them. I mean, oh, my God. What is your take on that series, since you're a Baltimore Orioles fan? And another question, by the way, this is just sports, so, I felt bad for you. I ain't gonna lie. I did feel bad, but business is business, but once you get off the field, it's all good. So go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts about the Orioles series with the Yankees just last week.
All I got to say is I click on my TV. Well, let's see. Saturday. Let me give you an example. Saturday's game.
Yes.
Saturday's game.
Oh, God.
It was the second inning, and they were leading like 14-2. I say to myself, this game is over.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah.
This is second inning I'm talking about. The second inning. I mean, I said, this
was
game's
done.
Over.
Yeah. It was done by, like, oh, my God. And that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who don't know, the Yankees on that last homestand, including those two games against the Red Sox out of the three, because they lost the first game to the Red Sox of the three-game series, then they won the next two by, like nothing. And then, like, Baltimore came into town that Friday, and the Orioles were actually winning that first game 2-0. But then after that, they just never led again. And not only did they beat them, but it was like they should have been a mercy rule like they have in Lilly. Like, it should have been, okay, 10 runs, okay, that's it. All right, mercy, game over, Oh, my God, it was like, woo. I mean, those last two games, it was over by the first inning. I was like, wow. I was like, oh, my God. But to tell you the truth, even when they scored those runs, the only thing I don't like about that, when that happens, I said, okay, but it's still early. Even though it was like 6-0 or whatever, it's still a lot of innings to go. Although Baltimore showed you that. I mean, let's be fair. Manny Machado's hurt. That's one of your best players. Let's keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely one of your best players that's not playing. And I like that guy. I definitely love that guy. Maybe a future Yankee. I don't know. but I don't want that to happen. I want him to stay in Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? with Adam Jones. I like Adam Jones too. Your center field. I always liked him. But oh my God, they just got shellacked. Oh my God, I was like, wow. It's one thing to lose. Now a loss is a loss, but when you get embarrassed and shellacked, where from 2-0 on Friday, you were basically outscored 55-4, whatever it was. I'm like, what the hell? It's like, oh my God. I was like, oh, I felt. That's the only thing. Now, I ain't gonna lie, because I don't care for Buck Showalter, because I don't know if anybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember. He used to be a Yankee manager years ago. He cost us that 1995 division series against the Mariners. He did. And he's the type of guy. Now, all due respect, great baseball guy, no question, but he's an anal guy. He's a by-the-book anal. Look what he did in the playoffs last year. He cost you a win. They had their best closer in the bullpen when they were tie game in Toronto. But because they were on the road and they wouldn't have the lead, oh, I'm not going to bring him in because that goes against baseball protocol. That's his problem. He don't go by his heart. He goes by a book and numbers. Oh, well, okay, the chances are if I bring my closer on the road when it's a tie game, I will lose the game. No, this is a one-and-done game. This is a wild-card game. If you don't win this game, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. He didn't bring his guy, and Edwin Carcion hits a ball to the moon that's still orbiting around the Earth as we speak, if you remember that.
Right.
And I'm
remember.
And I'm going to keep it real. If he was in New York, he would have been fired. He would have been fired. That was such a strength that he didn't bring in that closer. Now, he's been hurt, too. That's another guy, a major guy, your team has been hurt. So, you know, your bullpen is all screwed up. The MASH unit right now, to be fair.
Right.
But how did he not do – now, I'm going back to fall. I know that, but I'm proving a point. Buck Showalter, he's great at going to other teams and bringing them back to obscurity and make them relevant, no question. He did that with the Yankees. He did that with the Texas Rangers. He did that with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he's been doing that with the Orioles. But you know what they all have in common? When he leaves those teams, now he didn't leave Baltimore yet, but once he leaves those other teams, they win championships. The Diamondbacks won a championship when he left. The Yankees won multiple championships when he left. The Rangers, now, they didn't win a championship, but they were still relevant, and well, they caught themselves a couple years ago against the Cardinals. But my point is, he's good at bringing franchises and making them relevant. No question. I don't take that away from – but he's only been to one ALCS, and that was just a couple years ago. Never been to a World Series, and you can't say he's never had good teams because he's had good teams, okay? So I don't want to hear it. It's him.
What do you guys think?
The clubhouse where you can't have fun. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you got to be walking on eggshells. That's not cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. I'm not saying don't have authority. I'm not saying let the players run the asylum. But loosen up a little. Jesus Christ. He was back in the day, he made a big deal that Ken Griffey Jr. has had backwards when you take batting practice. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Really? That's what I'm saying. I never liked it when it comes to that. I respect him, like, you know, when it comes to, you know, when he brings, like I said, he brings franchises down and out and makes it relevant again, no question. I don't take that away from him, but his personality sucks. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I had the question. Go ahead. Talk.
what do you guys think? The Orioles haven't been to the World Series since 1983.
I know.
That's a long time.
They beat the Phillies that year. I remember, and I rooted for the Phillies that year because – I always go by, you're in my division, I don't want you to win a title. No team in my division is going to win a title but me. Yeah, I'm just saying. And now, if it's an AL team in another division that I like, that's not my division, and they haven't won in a while, I don't mind. But most of the time, I'm rooting for the National League in the World Series. Like, if it's not my team, screw that. Screw that. Let me see. Let me try to think. What's the last AL team that actually... Ruffalo. No, I'm really being dead serious.
I love that game. I love that game, even though we lost all three. Well, it's just like a rivalry. I mean, to me, Yankees and Orioles
used to be a rivalry
since I was a kid. Since I was little,
it's not like
crying
I was.
Out loud.
Well, it's not like how it was. Let's keep it real. It's not like how it was, you know, in the late 90s or even in the 70s. The 70s was really more of a rivalry. You remember that when Earl Weaver, you know, Eddie Murray, you know, then later on Kyle Griffin Jr., Billy Ricky, and his brother playing second base. You know, they had great players. Jim Palmer, I mean, come on, Hall of Famer Jim Palmer, come on. Great pitcher.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But, I mean, they're just – no, let me make this clear. Even with this great year the Yankees are having, which, by the way, they lost a series two out of three games to the Angels, by the way, which, by the way, for some reason the Angels have owned them for a billion years. I think it's the curse of Reggie Jackson going to the Angels. That's why the Angels have a number for some reason. It doesn't matter what different team it is, the Angels seem to always beat us, especially in Anaheim. But I'm not staying here and saying, we're winning a title this year. I'm not stupid. We're a young team. We got great young talent, no question. We still got a lot of great talent in the farm system. I'm enjoying every minute. And I'm not one of these people that are going, oh, well, we're going to win the title. No, 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 no. Relax. Slow down.
Right.
Just relax. I'm not going that way. Because the Houston Astros are still better than us, well, record-wise. And they're still, I mean, okay, there's not really a lot of teams better than us. I mean, Boston's right in the thick of things. They're only like two games behind us right now because we took in a little two out of three loss swing, you know, after winning six games in a row. But I'm confident with this team. One thing I love about this Yankee team that I haven't seen in over a very long time since the dynasty years is that these guys really like to play for each other. These guys are fun. They really look like they're having fun. You know what I'm saying? And they're in every game. Even when they lose, they're in every game. It's not like, okay, they're losing and they're going in the last at bat and it's 1, 2, 3, goodbye. You know, done. No, they fight. They scratch and claw. And if they lose, okay, I can live with that. I don't mind that. But if you just let the team run all over you, like, I hate to say it, like the Baltimore Orioles did, and just let them wipe the floor with you, it's a little embarrassing. I'm just saying. Although you have injuries, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But we have injuries. We don't have injuries like you, but we have, I mean, look at, what's his name? We don't have our closer. And Betances has stepped in like nothing. You know, because we are, what's his name? You know, our guy. I can't believe I forgot his name, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot his name. I'm having Alzheimer's early in my life. but you know what I'm talking about. I won't remember after I go off here. I was like, damn it, I forgot his name. But anyway, bottom line is this. Let's keep it real. Your team ain't going nowhere. My team has a shot. I'm not saying we're in division.
They're in fourth place. They're in fourth place, right?
Yeah, I know. It's so early. I know, but I see Boston better than them. I think you're better than Toronto, but Toronto could go on a tear. They're a helter-skelter type of team, just like the Orioles, actually, to be honest with you. Because even after that shellacking by the Yankees, the Orioles were still falling apart, losing to other teams. No, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying.
That's okay.
But they you know. But, I mean, all teams go through slump. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, like disrespected. Or I'm just saying, like, you know, we're going to have our bumps in the road, too. And it's happened every now and then. But we haven't taken that huge pothole yet. To be fair, we haven't. The only time that happened was when we went 1-4 at the beginning of the season. And then ever since then, we did pretty damn good. And then we have another big win streak we did. I mean, the first one was like 10 in a row, whatever it was. And then this one was 6 in a row recently. We tread water, still in first place. It's a very competitive division, no doubt about it. Definitely one of the most competitive divisions in all of baseball. But the Yankees have to be careful. And they had a major injury with CeCe Sabathia. Just happened the other night with his hamstring. I heard he's going to be out for a month. He's an older pitcher. So that's a major hit in their rotation because he's been one of their best pitchers this year. I don't trust Pineda. He's a helter-skelter pitcher. I don't trust him. Now, Luis Severino, his name, I like him. He's been outstanding. He's a guy that he started last year as a rookie. He had a horrible year. But then he rebounded this year and had a great year. Now, with Montgomery, he's a young rookie. I'm not putting too much pressure on him. But the thing is, if the trade deadline happens now, who do I – obviously, we need another pitcher, but who I want? There's nobody I want out there that I don't want to give away the farm system to. I don't want to give away the farm system. I like what we're doing. I like how we're not buying people. I like how everything's homegrown. We only got – you know, we got Matt Holliday, who's a veteran presence. that we got as a free agent, but he's not like – it's not like he's a, you know, big-time player, you know, really, you know, that we pay tons of money to, like an A-Rod or something. I love how they're doing it with Didi Gregorius, with, Castro, Starlin Castro, all, you know, obviously Aaron Judge, who's been outstanding, Gary Sanchez, who was tearing up since last year when he came up. Outstanding. I mean, Gardner doing his thing. It's just outstanding. And this is without their other farm system people that are really big-time blue-chip prospects. They ain't even up here like Cooper Torres and, like, Clyde Frazier and these guys that we traded for last year to get these guys. And one of the guys that we traded to get these blue chips, we got back anyway, and that's our closer. That's the amazing thing. Which, of course, okay, Yankees had the resource to do it. I understand that. No question about it. No other teams probably could have afforded to do that. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like how they're doing it where it's not an all-star team, that they bought every position. You know what I'm saying? Like they did from, like, 2002 on when they got Jason Giambi and they started getting A-Rod. And I didn't like that. I'm dead ass. I didn't like it. I mean, I'm a fan. I root for my team. But I didn't like that. I like it how we had it from 96 to 2001 where it was just a core presence of the core four, you know, most of our farmhands, and sprinkled in with veterans that we didn't pay tons of money to or trades, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But this has been the funnest, this is the most fun I've enjoyed with a team since 1996.
That's when or the other year when the Orioles could have gone to the World Series?
Yep. We beat you all 4-1. Yep.
Yeah.
And that was the year where that whole season, including the playoffs, we didn't lose one game in Baltimore. We beat you every time in Baltimore that year. It's true. You've beaten us in New York that year a couple of times. But when it came to Baltimore, every game that was in Baltimore that year, including the playoffs and the regular season, we beat you every time in Baltimore. That's a rare thing to happen. Very rare. And in 97, you had your revenge. Not on us, but we lost to the Indians in the best of five.
Yeah, we lost
You went out to face the Indians, and Tony Fernandez, big home run. So going
into
the – I
never forget that one.
Yeah, Tony Fernandez, extra innings. And I was like, oh, wow. And I ain't going to lie, I smiled. And I was happy. Actually, you know, that was the last team I actually wanted to win, an AL team that wasn't in my division that was an American League team I wanted to win. Not that
right.
I hated the Marlins, but – I was like, you know what? They haven't won a World Series in a while, and they still haven't. Look at last year. They came this close to beating the Cubs, and they blew it.
Let me ask you something, Jane. Have you ever noticed when the Yankees play on Fox, like the Saturday night game
Fox
of the week or Summer Day Fox?
Nationwide TV.
Yeah. You ever noticed that the majority, some of their games go about 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
You ever notice that?
No kidding. And, oh, my God, please. And, and even there were times where, especially if it's the Red Sox, Yankees, oh, my God, especially back then. Oh, my God. If it was like a marathon.
Like six hours. Time to go to bed.
Even that game in Baltimore, that game was over, and yet it took, like 6 hours to finish. Oh, my God, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Randy. Oh, my God. It's just all the pitching changes and the big innings they had. I mean, that one game against Baltimore, again, I'm not picking on you.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 outs in the first inning. The Orioles, it was that guy, Chris Tillman, whatever his name is. He got the first 2 outs right away. All of a sudden, bam, 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 5-0. What the hell just happened? And then I woke up the next day, Sunday, because I work overnight, and I saw the score. I thought it was a typo because it was almost exactly the same score from Saturday. I'm like, no, this can't be right. Again, 14-3, whatever it was. I think, no, it can't be. So I had to double check. I said, oh, my God. Again, almost like Groundhog Day, except a little different. They went right away, first inning, bam, 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 6-0, whatever. Like, Jesus Christ, poor Randy. Other than that, I enjoyed it, of course. But I don't hate the Orioles like that like I hate the Red Sox. The Red Sox I hate with a passion. I don't hate the Orioles like that. I hate the Red Sox. I can't stand the Red Sox.
We got love. I mean, there is such thing as love. You got to love to
hate.
I mean, love to hate. I love
the
Yankees. don't get me wrong. I mean, I love the Yankees. I mean, come on, it's been.
But you don't love. You respect.
I mean, whenever the Orioles and the Yankees play the game, mm-hmm. I just click on the TV and say, And then when the Yankees keep on winning those home runs, and I say, you know what? Game over.
Game over, man. Game over, dude. Game over.
I wish I had that sound back.
Game over, dude.
Saturday. I mean, Saturday was
game
the
over.
Best game out of all three of them.
Yeah.
Out of the three,
absolutely.
Saturday was the best out of all three.
Absolutely.
I mean, 14 to about 2 in the second inning.
Yeah.
I was say, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. But, yeah, what the hell is going on? You sound like Coach Vince Lombardi in those old NFL films. What the hell is going on out there? The hell? What kind of play is this? I know, explicit is I can't say any right now on this show. But, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I predicted before the season started the Yankees were going to be the second wild card, so it wasn't like I had, you know, because I was talking, okay, the young team, they're going to have their, you know, ups and downs, but, I mean, they exceeded everybody's expectations, including me. I didn't see this coming. I did not. If you had told me they were in first place, I'd be like, okay, whatever. Now,
weren't we in first place at one time?
Yeah, I think early in the year. I think like in the first month or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I think so, but yeah, that was short-lived.
Yeah, we're like third or fourth place now?
Something like that, but I don't want to rub it in.
No, you're not rubbing it in. It's just fact.
Yeah, I think, okay, let me check real quick before we get up here, real quick, because I have to go because we're going to be almost going off the air. Okay, hold on now, real quickly. But, of course, there's tomorrow's show, which we will have a guest, hopefully. MLB standing. Hold on one second. Okay, Google, what you got? What you got? Okay, standing. Here we go. La, 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 la. First of all, you showed me scores. I said standing. To see the standings, hold on. Do 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 do. Come on. And it's buffering. Okay, here we go. Fire. Wait. Here we go. Okay, your Orioles are second to last place. They're fourth
place. Second to last.
Yeah, 32-33, seven games out. But you're both tied for last because, Toronto's also 32-33, seven mm-hmm. games out, too. But you know what's funny? You want to hear this? In the wild card, you're only a game and a half back. I don't understand.
Uh-huh.
So you're still in it when it comes. Thank God for the wild card. Well,
wait a minute. Isn't it early in the season? Are we worried about the wild card?
I know. No, I'm just telling you. You have a shot to get in the playoffs one way or the other. You know,
okay.
I'm not saying you're going to win the division. But maybe a walk. I just say maybe. Of course, the best team in the American League, I think, the best team in all of baseball is the Astros, 45-22. They have their division wrapped up already, up 11 games up on
uh-huh.
the Angels. Which, by the way, it goes to show you, the Angels, second place, 35-34. Yeah, they're in second place, 11 games out.
Right.
One game above 500, which is nothing. That's like, okay, you're basically a mediocre team. And yet, you're in second place. That's how that division's already garbage.
Right.
The Twins are surprising, which I can't believe, 34-29 at Central. They're half game up. No, two games up on the defending AL champions, Cleveland Indians. Ms. V's Tigers are in third place.
Right.
30-34, four games below about 500. They're 4.5 games out of the division, 3 out of the wild card. The Cleveland Indians are half game out of the wild card. Everybody else, who cares? Anyway, I already gave too much. So I want to end this great show. I already went a little overboard. I already went an extra 16 minutes, but it's okay. It's about, like the show name, let's talk about sports, and that's what we do on here, the quickest hour of sports, or a little more than an hour, depending. I want to thank everybody for listening. thanks to Ms. V, wherever she is, doing her thing. She'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for that other show. That's adult show for all you people out there, where it's uncensored. We say what we want, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about. And, of course, Randy will be there, and hopefully Greg will be too. And, all, of course, all you listening out there be listening out there too. And I'd like to thank Randy for calling in. Thanks. As always, you, as always, contribute to the show. Always appreciate you.
You're
and
welcome.
Everybody else that tunes in. And like I said, tune in tomorrow night, like we do every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, where it's all about sex, sex, and more sex, with Miss V the Toilet as the host, me as the co-pilot, the lieutenant, Ryan Shotgun, and we're going to have a guest on tomorrow. Let's see, I forgot the guest name, but there's a part of her name I can't say right now. Just look at Miss V's Twitter, at Miss V the Toilet, that's at and Ms. V, D-A-T-O-Y-L-A-D-Y. And also follow me on Twitter at YankeeMan1973, YankeeMan1973. And follow me on Instagram, JimmyAce73, JimmyAce73. And on Facebook is my name, James Acevedo, A-C-E-V-E-D-O. And, yeah, and also check out my show tomorrow, The Bench Woman's Live Show on Mixler.com, M-I-X-L-R.com. /ER-owner, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Big show tomorrow. Tribute to Tupac Shakur. And we're going to have a lot of big-time guests on that new Tupac. And it's going to be awesome. So until then, tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night, for Double Sex and Double Sex, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, with your tour lady and myself, I bid you all adieu. Have a great night. And as I say, as I go into Internet Radio Rising, in the voice of Rocky Balboa, his trainer, Mickey, I say this to you all. Ladies and tomatoes, you can't win, Rocky. Eat like this and crap out thunder. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you
Bye.
All tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. I'm glad you all enjoyed the show. Bye.
Bye.